Support for Commodity Week comes from Agrigold Hybrids, featuring the Agrigold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgrigoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at ADM.com/FarmerView.
This is a special holiday edition of Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. This is a special holiday edition. In the second half of our program today, we'll talk with ag economist from the University of Illinois, Daryl Good. In the first part of the program, let's take a look at stress testing your farm in the coming year, and we'll hear about all the changes that are coming to the crop insurance program, which most producers will be signing up for in the month of March. And it all happens right here on this edition of Commodity Week. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. It comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Please visit us online. Our website address is www.willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find Commodity Week and all of our daily agricultural programming, from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report, for each and every business day of the year. It's at willag.org, and while you're there, please do remember to sign up for our weekend newsletter. Hit sign up and subscribe on the right-hand side of the page.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here are the weekly settlements and the changes from the CME Group in Chicago. March wheat futures for the week at a high of 627 and three quarters. The low at 581 and three quarters. Settlement price up 38 and a quarter cents at $6.22. July at 655 and a half, up 35 and a half. March corn at 625, top, bottom at 584 and a quarter. Settled 36 and a half cents higher at $6.19 and a half. December 569, 21 cents higher from Friday to Friday. January soybeans, $11.68, the high, the low at 11.31 and three quarters. Settlement price, 33 cents higher at $11.63. November beans of next year at $11.79, up 28 and a half cents. December live cattle settled 124.30, $6.15 higher. January feeders up $4.57 and a half at $147.62 and a half. And the lean hogs at $85.85 were up $2.70 on the week. Well, as many of you know, I traveled around the state of Illinois during the month of December with the Illinois Farm Economics Summits and the FarmDoc team. Crop insurance specialist Bruce Sherrick was on that particular roadshow, and I spoke with him about his topic for the day, the trend-adjusted yield that you'll be seeing in crop insurance. That's the APH, which will now be adjusted if you enlist or sign up for it. I asked him about that particular adjustment and what it really is and how it will impact your APH yields in the coming year.
Thanks, Todd. That is one of the biggest changes we've seen in many years. The essential idea is that just like you would adjust prices with the CPI change through time, you can adjust your historic yields to reflect the trend that's been omitted from that through time. So we'll be upping your APH next year to reflect trend.
How far has it lagged and how did it get fixed?
It got fixed because some folks at Illinois Corn Marketing Board and others decided that this was a good time to try to propose this idea. We developed the idea, took it to the board of directors of RMA, and they approved it, thought it was a really good idea. The way it works, though, is your APH is comprised of at least 4 and up to 10 historic yields. To the extent those are actual yields, we'll be allowed to add back the trend in your area to the historic yield, re-average that for a trend-adjusted APH.
So you suggested it would be trend in your area. Is it done by county?
It is done by county. The trends are estimated to reflect differences in productivity, weather differences have been controlled for, and other features to get as good of an estimate of the rate of change through time as we can in the area.
Let's go back 20 years because I do corn and soybeans on a regular rotation. Can I go back that far?
You can go back as far as the records are used in your own APH now. So if you are in a skip year rotation and have 10 sets of records that span 20 years, you can adjust all the way back for 20 years, yes.
And what does that mean? How does the calculation work?
The easy way to think about this is the insurance year minus the year of the record is an amount of time. So for next year's 2012 insurance, think about a yield you observed in 2008, for example. That's now a four-year-old yield, so you would add four times the amount of trend to the yield you experienced before averaging it to get to your trend-adjusted APH.
Is there a common trend adjustment in the state of Illinois, for instance? It's pretty close for most of the counties.
It's roughly 2 or just slightly under 2 for much of the middle of the Corn Belt, Illinois included. A little higher trend rates where the yields are a little bit lower in the upper Midwest, but the total yields in Illinois are adjusted by about 2 bushels a year.
So does that mean in my 10 corn yield years, if the farthest one back was 20 years ago, I'm going to add how many bushels?
You would add 40 bushels to that particular observation because it's 20 years old and 2 bushels per year is 40 bushels to add to that observation before using it in the average that resulted in your APH.
So average APH would go up by how many bushels, roughly speaking?
A good way to think about this is if you have 10 continuous years of data, then you'll have, and you have a two, you're in a county with a 2 bushel per year trend, you would be upping your total average by about 11 bushels. That's the consequence of averaging 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 all the way back and adding it to the insurance year that's being insured.
Producers will like that adjustment. It takes the lag out of the APH. They will also maybe like the re-rating adjustments that are going to happen with crop insurance.
Right. This will be, for a producer with good records, there's really not a choice. It's really to their advantage to increase their APH. There's not a rate change associated with it, so the price per bushel of coverage stays the same. And because of the way the subsidy schedules, many farmers will actually see a slight decrease in the premiums associated with the trend adjustment to insure the same bushels. The second topic you asked about was the re-rating study by RMA. RMA has announced that they are implementing one-third of a total impact they expect to apply to the rates for crop insurance products beginning in 2012.
And what does that mean in the state of Illinois?
In the state of Illinois, we're still working it out, actually, but RMA has a map out that shows perhaps an 11 to 12% base rate reduction for corn, similar in soybeans in Illinois, but that'll translate to a slightly lower percentage change in premiums, maybe 8, 9% reduction in premiums.
So the point was on the re-rating that when you look across all of the corn acres or all of the soybean acres in the United States, and I think this is the two crops that they're dealing with at this point, that the premiums on those should be fair across the board.
Right. There's a federally mandated target that they pay back out in the form of indemnity payments, the same amount they take in premiums in total. And there's accumulating evidence that Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, the central parts of the Corn Belt weren't getting back as much of the premiums as other parts of the Corn Belt. And again, same story for soybeans, of course. Similar regions grow both, but Illinois was getting back less than it was paying in, and so this re-rating was done to try to help equilibrate that through time.
So in the state of Illinois, producers, when they go in to sign up for crop insurance, should see a lower premium. And they should also be able to sign up for the adjusted trend yield for the APH. That's something they'll have to tell their agent, but I suspect that their agent will tell them. And altogether, it should make crop insurance a more affordable process.
In most counties in Illinois, there are still some regions where the other changes that happen just as a natural consequence of time may still result in premiums being upped a little bit because the increase was greater from these other factors than the reduction was from the rate study. The trend adjustment will be to virtually every producer's advantage and allow higher coverages and more efficient coverages. I think this is a really important advancement as crop insurance really is the cornerstone of the risk management practice for most folks and allows more truth and coverage kind of consequences from the trend adjustment. So, yes, I think it's a much better program through time and should be looked at very carefully by Farmers for Risk Management.
Bruce Sherrick is an ag economist from the University of Illinois, spoke to us about the trend-adjusted APH and the re-rating that USDA RMA has done for crop insurance. You can read more on the re-rating and the trend-adjusted yields on the FarmDoc website at farmdoc.illinois.edu and test it out in one of the crop insurance calculators. Those are put together in part by Gary Schnitke, who I spoke to not long ago about stress testing your farm for the 2012 growing season. That starts with identifying the new plateau or middle ground prices for corn, soybeans, and wheat.
What we're trying to identify is approximately where long-run prices are going to be for corn and soybeans. And the number that people keep coming up is 450 corn and 1050 soybeans. So over the next 5 years, you would expect corn to average 450 with some years above it, some years below it, but average 450.
Let's look into the 2012 growing season. If you use those average as cash price, how does the farm in Illinois stress out?
Yeah, if we look at net incomes given a 450 corn price and a 1050 soybean price, what we come up for average net incomes for 2012 would be $83,000 per farm. So that, and that's for grain farms in Illinois. And $83,000 an acre is pretty close to the level it was from 2001 through 2006 when we had average net incomes of $63,000. So those long-run prices get us back to the 2001 through 2006 levels.
Those numbers are well off the previous several years.
Yeah, the past several years, incomes have been good on Illinois grain farms since between 2007 and 2010. We've had net incomes averaging over all those 4 years, averaging close to $200,000, and with 2009 being a low year. But yeah, it's significant. Those long-run prices are significantly below the recent averages.
Producers will have to adjust some form of spending habit, I would suspect, in that process. What are the most likely candidates?
Yeah, if we begin to see prices in that long-run range, we would expect to see capital purchases being reduced. And after that, you know, if we get prices below 450 corn and 1050 soybeans, we would have to see some cash rents being reduced because that's the other item that has gone up a lot, and reductions there seem warranted because we've seen large increases in cash rents.
What was the mix, speaking of cash rent, and owned crop share in the projections you used for those farms?
Yeah, if we looked at our projections, used an average for the state of a 10% owned, 30% share rented, and 60% cash rented, and that's about the average for the state. Northern Illinois would have more cash rent than that. Central Illinois would have about equal share in cash rent, and Southern Illinois would have more share rent. But as a state, 10% owned, 30% share rent, and 60% cash rented.
Were you in a 50-50 rotation?
We were a bit more on the corn side, had two-thirds corn, one-third soybeans.
How many acres?
1,200 acres.
So fairly large for the farm, but that's the average in your FBFM records?
Yep, that would be what we would typically see as a commercial farm in grain farm in Illinois, with a lot of farms obviously above that and quite a few farms below that in size.
So you discussed what the stress test would look like at long range and touched on lower prices, but I'll bet you have some data that we can talk about in those numbers.
Yeah, again, given where our 2012 projections for prices put that average farm at $150,000, which is a $5 corn price, $11 soybean price, the long-run prices at $83,000, and a $4 corn price and a $10 soybean price essentially puts that farm at zero net income. So they're zero. And then prices below that lead to losses. In 2012, we would, for that sort of typical farm, we would expect the worst loss to be minus $30,000. And that's given a crop insurance purchase of a 80% revenue protection plan. Because once we get lower prices, that policy is going to kick in payments.
Speaking of which, crop insurance, the month of February is a an important month for risk management and a tool producers need to watch carefully.
Yeah, absolutely. We, in our projections, used a 530 projected price for corn, and that's a maybe a little bit conservative to where the December 2012 corn settlement prices are at now. But changes in that price really do impact the lowest revenue that a farm can see it, given that they purchase crop insurance. Just to give you a feel, we were saying minus 30,000 for a 530 price. We go down to $5 for that projected price. We're down in the $60,000 to $70,000 loss range. If you go above that, obviously you get less. But that 1 month does determine the low side that we're looking at because of crop insurance protection that's offered by those revenue protection policies.
Thank you so much, Gary.
You're welcome.
That's Gary Schnittke, a farm management specialist at the University of Illinois and a member of the FarmDoc team. You can find more from him on the FarmDoc website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. This is Commodity Week. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. When we come back, we'll talk with ag economist Daryl Good.
I'm Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey at the Prairie Research Institute on the campus of the University of Illinois. The statewide average temperature for this week was 36.6 degrees, an incredible 9.5 degrees above average. Statewide average precipitation was 0.56 inches, which is close to average for this time of year. For the month of December so far, we are 4.9 degrees above average, with 2.9 inches of total precipitation. In terms of snowfall, we've seen 1 to 2 inches north of I-80, less than an inch between I-80 and I-70, and little if any snow south of I-70. Thanks to the wet spring and fall, the statewide precipitation stands at 45.1 inches for the year. That already makes it the 10th wettest year on record. The top spot goes to 1993 with 51.2 inches. Only a small area around Decatur remains below average for the year. The statewide average temperature stands at 53.4 degrees, 0.6 degrees above average. The forecast continues the trend towards mild temperatures. Highs for Saturday are expected to range from the upper 30s in northern Illinois to the low 50s in southern Illinois. Lows Saturday night are expected to be in the 20s. Christmas Day is expected to be pleasant with highs ranging from the upper 30s in northern Illinois to the low 50s in southern Illinois. No significant precipitation is expected in Illinois for the next 5 days. The National Weather Service 6 to 10 day and 8 to 14 day forecast calls for a continuation of the mild weather with above normal temperatures and below normal precipitation. I'm Jim Angel, state climatologist, wishing you a happy and safe holiday season.
This is a holiday edition of Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. In a moment, ag economist Daryl Good. Ag economist from the U of I, Daryl Good, now joins us to take up the commodity markets and marketing. Thank you so much, Daryl, for taking the time with us. On the Illinois Farm Economic Summits over the past week, you've discussed a couple of two or three slides that I think producers were particularly interested in that look at long-term prices. About 4 years ago, you and Scott Irwin, ag economist also in the college, put together an idea of what you thought the plateaus, new plateaus, might be for pricing structure. You put those up, and at this point it looks like you were spot on with what average cash prices might be.
Well, we did, Todd. We took a look at what happened to the price level of corn, soybeans, and wheat in the early 1970s compared to the previous two decades, and measured the magnitude of the average price increase from those two time periods. And under the premise that we moved into a new era of prices beginning late 2006, early 2007, we used that magnitude of price increase in a previous period and say, what if we do that again now? And that would suggest that in this new era, however long it lasts, that you would expect corn prices to be somewhere around 460 on average soybeans about $10.60, wheat about $5.80. That's an Illinois price. But also recognize that if we had the same kind of variability as we had in the previous 30 years, you would see prices in a very wide range around those averages. And so if we look at the past 5 years and say, okay, we've got 5 years of experience in this new era, how have we done? And clearly we've been in a very wide range. That goes without saying. But the average corn price in Illinois has been about $4.30, just slightly lower than our projected average. Soybean price is about $10.50, very close to the average, and the average wheat price about $5.50. And again, pretty close to that long-term average that we projected 3 years ago. So when we're – what we use that for primarily is saying, okay, when you're several deviations away from the projected average, that's a pretty strong marketing signal. So when corn, soybean, wheat prices get into that upper part of the trading range that you might expect during this new era, then that's a pretty strong signal that we want to be more aggressive marketing. If and when prices drop below that long-term average, you say, this is when we want to be a little more conservative, in particularly in terms of forward pricing.
What is the current trading range or that projected trading range for corn and soybeans?
Well, we do it on a monthly average basis, so it doesn't capture what you would think about the extremes on price ranges. But on corn, you would basically say between $3 on a monthly average basis and about $6.75 on the upside. And that's about what we've done the last 5 years. We got down to in the $3 range there in 2009, and, of course, more recently we've seen prices approaching the $7 range. So it's a very wide range, but we've actually experienced that. The projected range on soybeans is much wider. It would say $7.50 to $17.50 if we had the same kind of variation in this new era that we had in the previous 30 years. On a monthly average basis, we have seen prices near the low end of that range. Certainly have not been near 17.5, but we have been close to a $14 monthly average price. On wheat, again, the price range would be very large, somewhere between $3.50 and $10.50 on a monthly basis, centering on just under $6. And over the past 5 years, we've traded in that range from $10.50 to down to almost $4 wheat.
Does it suggest to you that producers need to think of current cash prices in the 550, 540, 520, 580 area, wherever that might be, as a higher price of corn as opposed to a cheaper price for corn?
Well, the way we would look at it is say, okay, if you expect an average of, say, 450 corn and we had the same kind of variability with the same frequency as we had in the previous year, we'd probably spend less than 20% of the time above $5.50 corn, maybe less than 15% of the time below 3.5. The rest of the time you basically would expect to be $3.5 to $5 corn. So anytime you get up into that tail that says, you know, if history is any guide, we're in that territory where you would only expect to spend 10, 15, 20% of the time. That's a pretty strong pricing signal, and you know, $5.50 to $6 is still in that tail.
And would you use that currently for pricing old crop corn?
Well, it's kind of a general guide. To use it to specifically time sales is more difficult because we know that prices can move so much on a short term basis. But it does say that $5.50 to $6 corn is still relatively high price corn. And so I think it can still be used as a general marketing signal. Are we going to go to 6.25 or 6.50? Who knows? But we're in that territory where you know that you don't spend much time.
Tell me about the general dynamics of demand, domestic and export, for U.S. commodities, corn, soybeans, wheat, livestock.
Well, you have to kind of look at that as by category, of course. Domestic demand for corn. Well, you'd have to say in case of ethanol, you would characterize that as peaking, stabilizing, maturing. That would be the kind of comment I would use. exports characterize current demand as extremely weak because of increased competition from around the world, and that's likely to persist through the first half of 2012. Feed demand for corn, also the trend is down because of feeding of distillers' grain. But current demand may be a little stronger than projected by USDA. So that's how I'd characterize corn, kind of maturing, stabilizing domestic demand, weak export demand right now. Soybeans, generally weak demand, domestic crush running well below that of a year ago, and exports as well because of large competition from South America that will likely persist through the fall of 2012. Wheat, domestic demand is always very stable, doesn't change very much. A little bit of a variation in feed use depending on price and quality of the wheat crop. But extremely weak export demand right now that will persist for another 6 to 9 months because of huge wheat crops in the rest of the world.
In the state of Illinois, as we look forward to the 2012 cropping season and maybe across the Midwest, is there any reason to believe that there will be a battle for acreage, which we have talked about in previous years, but not so much this year?
It really looks like we should have plenty of acreage to produce the size crop that we need, that we don't really need to get into a competitive battle. And part of that increase will come because compared to a year ago, we expect that we will have a lot less prevented planted acres. Last year, FSA estimates we didn't plant about 9.5 million acres that were intended for planting. With a more normal spring, that should allow 3, 4, 5 million acres of cropland to be planted to something this year. We've had a net decline in CRP acres. So all in all, we should have plenty of acres. We need to maintain a balance, maybe need a few more corn acres, but it shouldn't be a real battle to get that.
And then one last question. February is a very important month for marketing crops and the way people view the next year. Can you tell me how that is incorporated into the marketing process?
Well, once we get into the month of February and during that month we establish the price guarantees for the crop revenue products, then we have a bit of a income floor for our major commodities for next year. And that takes a little bit of the pressure off of the forward pricing decision, particularly if prices are at or below your price guarantee. Then you say, well, I have a safety net to protect me. It's then only when prices start moving well above those price guarantees that would be a strong signal to market. I think the real challenge is what to do between now and February because we don't have that price guarantee in place. And so should I be marketing some new crop corn or soybeans in anticipation that the February prices will be lower than now? And there's no way to know that with certainty. But still, when you're looking at $5 and $11 new crop prices, those are reasonably high prices compared to what we would expect a trading range to be.
Thank you so much, Darrell.
Thank you, Todd.
Darrell Good is an ag economist at the University of Illinois. Joins us here on this special holiday edition of Commodity Week. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Please do visit us online at willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at ADM.com/FarmerView.